Amen. We certainly appreciate the rightly dividing of God's precious word, and certainly the salvation that came to Zacchaeus' house that day was a salvation through God's mercy and grace and God's almighty power, but also with Zacchaeus' obedience. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Right.
That's a particular obedience unto water baptism there, that there's a salvation that is obtained, an answering of the good conscience.
Yeah.
We certainly appreciate these things. I want to turn this morning to Psalms 116. Psalms 116. This will kindly go along with a continuation of some of the things that we've been on the last few weeks. But I want to direct your attention here in verse 7. We could start at the first of this, but let's just start with verse 7. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Here is a temporal deliverance. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Thou hast delivered my soul from separation from God, from God's fellowship, from God's providential oversight and blessings and help right here in this life. Now we know the Lord has delivered our soul in regeneration from a spiritual dead in trespass and sin. But I don't believe that's what's under consideration for his soul here. I believe this is the child of God's soul that has experienced a deliverance from being separated in a fellowship way and with God through the child of God's adhering to God's commandments, to God's teachings, and listening to the voice of God, that there is this deliverance for the soul from death, from separation. Every time you see the word death, in the Bible, it always means some type of separation. Some type of separation. Corporal death. Natural death is separation of the soul and spirit from the body. And many times the Bible talks about God's people in a state of death or in a state of separation from God and God's fellowship. I think so many times of the words of the Apostle Paul, and just hold your place there in Psalms, but let's just turn over there real quick to the Ephesian letter. And in that Ephesian letter in chapter 5, if you would, where we could back up, let's just go into verse 14 for the sake of time. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give the lie. I believe that this is one of the strongest proof texts that is given to the church, that is given to the Lord's believing children, those that have believed the gospel, those that have followed the Lord in gospel water baptism, following after the Lord Jesus Christ, but disciples of the Lord in the gospel kingdom. Here is the admonition to those where he says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead. That's not dead in trespass and sin. That's a separation from fellowship and a separation from alertness and keenness and having your spiritual senses exercised in the way of righteousness and in the way of walking in the Spirit. So he says, arise from the dead and Christ shall give thee light. L-I-G-H-T, not L-I-F-E, not life. He's not telling them something to get life. They've got natural life. They've got spiritual life. They have eternal life within them. He's not talking about life. He's talking about light. That if they will awake out of their sleep. Now in order for them to arise from the dead that's under consideration here, they're going to have to awake out of their sleep. You see, we can get in a state whereby we don't realize that we're separated from fellowship with God. If you were asleep in here this morning, in a natural sense, you would be dead to what's going on around you in here. If you were asleep, you would be separated from hearing and receiving the gospel message and the gospel instruction. If you had slept in a natural sense all the way through the service, you would have been separated from the song service, from the prayer that's been offered. So we have to awake out of sleep. We have to have an alertness. We can't be comatose towards spiritual things. We've got to be alert and active. That's called walking in the Spirit. That's called living in the Spirit. As the Apostle Paul writes and speaks so to the Galatians about and concerning. So the admonition is for the church, the disciples of the Lord Jesus, to awake out of that sleep, out of that slumber, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. The Lord is going to give light and understanding. Light is in the sense of understanding. I believe that the greatest thing that God's people need, and it's always been this way, is knowledge, understanding, and light upon God's Word and what God's Word teaches us, in having fellowship with the Lord as we live right here in this life. I tell you, we can't walk with the Lord unless we're walking in the Spirit. We can't have fellowship with the Lord unless we are meditating and praying and seeking Him and putting Him first in our lives and following after His commandments and those things that He exhorts unto us. And in doing this, the only way, as verse 15 says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The only way that you're going to walk, being able to look all around and to see and to observe and to keep from falling into the ditch or into the pit holes of this life and stumbling and falling and so forth, is to have light. And that reminds me that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light to our path. It shines upon us to help us to be able to see clearly the direction that we should go in and that we should follow in our lives, that we would be awake, that we would be alert, and that we would have fellowship with the Lord and not walk as fools, but walk as wise. Those disciples that are wise have oil in their lamp and their lamp burning and using that to honor and glory glorify God while we live right here in this life. There's many more things that we could say there, but I do want to turn back here to Psalms 116. So now we have established what he's saying here in verse 8, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." Notice that now. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe in a context, the application for that we can make and understand and apply to us, I believe the land of the living for God's people is in the gospel kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the gospel church. It is a land of the living. It is a land of those that are not in the state of dead and trespass and sin, but they're alive in Christ Jesus, but also that are in fellowship with the Lord and are walking in the Spirit, walking with the Lord. Just hold your finger there again and turn back to the New Testament, to the epistle to the Galatians. And there in chapter 5, when we went over that first part of that chapter, we talked about the living by faith. Then in verse 16, he goes in concerning walking in the Spirit. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Verse 18, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." If you be led by the Spirit. Now the Spirit will not lead you in opposition or in contrariness to the Lord's law, as we've been talking about it and trying to preach about it the last few Sundays. But we will have the unction, the encouragement, the light of the Spirit. If we will live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, we won't be obeying and fulfilling the law out of duty, but we will be doing it out of a motivation of love and gratitude to the Lord. Now, that's the kind of service I believe that pleases the Lord, is service that is done out of gratitude, out of love, out of thankfulness unto the Lord, and not because we're under duty or under the law of God to do these things. So we know we have this liberty in Christ Jesus, but we keep His commandment because we love Him. So I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. The only way we're going to do that is to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. And when we do that, we will bear the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is the outgrowth. It is the outcropping, if you please, of the inward work of God that has been done within us. It takes the Spirit to produce the fruit of the Spirit. You cannot produce, you cannot manifest, you cannot show forth the things of the fruit of the Spirit out of the carnal nature. That will not work. He goes on to tell us what the works of the flesh are. You see, it's the fruit of the Spirit, but it's the work of the flesh. The difference between those two things should be a whole sermon in and of themselves. When you get in far as works along that line, that is not a pretty thing, of the works of the flesh. But it's God's disciples and to walk before the Lord. Notice that I will walk before the Lord. There's many expressions in the Scripture scripture about walking with and walking before the Lord. That's a humbling thing. That's a humbling experience. To come before the Lord. Now, we don't approach unto Him because of our obedience or because of our righteousness. We know that in and of ourselves, it's a filthy rags. Unless He has worked within us the good work that we can have the desire and the ability to do it, it would never be done. So all the praise, honor, and glory goes to Him. But just as you are thankful parents and very pleased for your children when they walk before you in obedience and they do those things that you have told them, or they shun away and don't do what you told them not to do, you're very pleased with that. You smile upon them. You put your arms around them in loving appreciation and thankfulness that they are obedient. That's the same way with our Heavenly Father. That we would walk before Him in the land of the living with love and appreciation and thanksgiving to Him within our hearts in gratitude unto our Lord. You know, Enoch, he walked with the Lord.
Yeah.
And he was not, for God took him. But he had this testimony. Please the Lord. He walked with the Lord.
Yeah.
He had fellowship with the Lord. And therefore the Lord gives us a sign through that. He never saw death. Many of God's children, because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done in pleasing His Heavenly Father, in fulfilling and complete obedience to the law that we could not do. Therefore, many of God's children in the last day when the resurrection takes place, but those that are alive and remain, they're going to be changed. Amen. And caught up to meet the Lord in the air without ever having tasted corporal, natural death. There will be those that are living here upon the earth that are the Lord's, that the Lord will change them and translate them. Catch them up, that word caught up, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But if we want to, if we'll walk before the Lord here in the land of the living, he said, I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? Here's the question that the psalmist asked. We could go into great detail in all of these if the Lord would help us, but we're kind of having to skip over the high points of some. But what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? Here again is obedience. Here again is us doing something. Here again is something that's upon our part in obedience. What shall I render? Now, we know it's the Lord that has worked in us both to do and to will according to His good pleasure. But the psalmist said, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation. That's not getting or obtaining or having to do anything with eternal life. But there again is your temporal deliverance through obedience. Amen. There again is the blessing that we can experience in believing and acting upon what the Word of the Lord teaches us, embracing it and trusting in it and clinging unto it. I will take. You're involved. You're involved. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That expression is first in Joel. Amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter took it up there, and he's used that and said on the day of Pentecost in that discourse that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Apostle Paul took it up in Romans chapter 10 and comes across it whenever he is teaching the Lord's children in believing in their heart and confessing with their mouth the Lord Jesus. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is a salvation in calling upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. I will pay the vows that I have vowed. You know, the scripture teaches us that it's better to have never made a vow than to make a vow and to break it. You know, a lot of times in our times of trouble, in our times of distress and situations in life, we'll make promises to the Lord. We need to be careful with that, because God hears that and the Lord holds us to it. I believe that. Amen. The Lord holds us to it. And there are vows that we make. There's commitments that we make. There is that due diligence that we make towards serving the Lord. It takes that conscientious effort, amen, to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit. If we don't walk in the Spirit, if we don't live in the Spirit, then we are going to produce the works of the flesh. But if we'll walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit, then we'll manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the next verse says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Now, I want you to notice this. And if you'll notice what I've been trying to bring before you here in this context, right down through here in the death that I've been talking about. And then right after this, keeping right in the same vein of thought, I don't want to take anything away from you concerning precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints, concerning the time when one of the Lord's children breathes out their last and passes from the walk of this life. I believe that is precious in the sight of the Lord, but I don't believe this is the verse to teach it, and I don't believe that this is talking about the natural death right here that takes place. We'll continue with that in just a moment. I believe it's in the same vein, it's in the same thought that we are looking at here in the context. The only way to take that and to use that in the natural sense at the time of corporal death is to just lift this verse out and to hang it up by itself. Just lift it up and to hang it out by itself. But when you keep it in the context, it won't bring forth in the light of natural death. Now, I believe when Stephen, when his life, he was breathing out his last, when he was stoned to death. Yes, brothers and sisters, amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, He stood up, recognized Stephen to give him comfort and strength and help and to welcome him home into the portals of glory. And yes, that was a precious and that was a wonderful moment and so forth when Stephen went to be with the Lord. And it is a precious and it's a great time when God's children go home to be with the Lord. But to teach this in its context is to teach it that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. When we put the members, amen, of our body, bring them under subjection, when we put them to death, when we mortify them, when we separate ourselves from the world, he's talking all down through here about living in the land of the living, and having fellowship with the Lord and walking with the Lord. And then he says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And when God's people
people, his obedient people, as we separate ourselves. Remember, death is always a separation. When we separate ourselves, that's precious in our text. Amen. In the sight of the Lord, when we will come aside from the things of this world, when we will walk in the Spirit, when we will live in the Spirit. You know, when we talked about this outside a few weeks ago, and so many times this subject matter will come up, and folks always talking about and feel something mystical about the vow of a Nazarite and so forth. But you know, when you boil it down, what's under consideration there, and all that it's talking about is an individual that will sanctify themselves, which means to set apart, to set apart. And death is a separation. There's a Nazarite separates themselves from some things that they can be separate unto the Lord in a special way. I tell you that all of the disciples of Jesus Christ, in one sense, we are a Nazarite in discipleship. Think about this. We are to separate ourselves, amen, from things that we can be separated unto the Lord, that we can be a sanctified, set apart vessel, meet for the Master's use. Oh, I want to tell you, you don't need to pray for the Lord to use you. Oh, what we need to pray and do something about it is asking the Lord to make us usable.
Yeah.
And then make us usable in His service. Make us a fit servant to do the service that He has called us to do. In order to be an elder and to be effective in that position and to serve particularly in the office of pastor, there is separation. There's some self-denial of things in order to be more effective, in order to be more compliable to that office of service unto the Lord, to be a deacon in the kingdom of God, in the local church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some separation from some things. Amen. To be more usable in that office of deacon, to be the parents that you need to be. There has to be some separation from some things. You can't be polluted and contaminated with the world and teach your children the way of righteousness. You not only teach in word, but you have to teach in deed. You have to teach, amen, an example unto them. And all so precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Amen. When we'll separate ourselves, when we'll deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ and look continuously unto Him, the author and the finisher of our faith. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. That's in verse 16. The very next statement. The very next statement after he says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. He brings in about service. You can't serve the Lord without being dead to the world, without being dead to the things, amen, of the flesh. We cannot live and walk in the flesh nature. For if we do, we'll manifest the works of the flesh. But we've got to walk in the land of the living. We've got to walk alive in fellowship unto the Lord. And as I've said, talking about putting on Christ and wearing Him as a beautiful garment, you can't put on what you don't have put in you. If God hadn't put Christ in you, you'll never put Him on. Always always remember that, but that is the rightly, amen, dividing, that by God's grace and help and by obedience and paying attention to God's word, we can put on Christ and we can wear him as a beautiful garment that is being dead, that is being separated from the old sin nature, not fulfilling it. Now I know there's times we're going to succumb to it. There's times we're going to falter. We're going to fail. We're not perfect. And believe you me, I'm not preaching a perfection in discipleship. We won't achieve that. Thank God Jesus Christ achieved perfection in discipleship. Yeah. Amen. He is our example of discipleship. He is a true disciple of his heavenly Father. Oh, a true disciple. 110%, if you please. Yeah. And that's why, amen, all of his elect family that he represents are going to live with God in glory. But we that are endeavoring, amen, to deny ourselves, take up the cross and follow him, and be dead to what we need to be dead to and alive unto the Lord. Jesus is our example. Oh, he is the measuring rod. He is the pattern that we should look to. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. There it is again. I will call on the name of the Lord. This is continuous calling on the Lord. Whosoever shall call on the Lord, name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise of deliverance. That's a promise of temple salvation. It will call upon him. When Brother Peter was sinking beneath the waves and he cried out, Lord, save me. I want to tell you, they wouldn't have pictured there being saved from hell, an everlasting punishment. No, he was wanting to keep from drowning, right? Yeah. Amen, that's a cry to keep from drowning. Amen. That's a temporal deliverance, a temporal salvation of a cry out, amen, to be saved. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. As we walk before the Lord, as we walk in the land of the living, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of the Lord's people before each other, we're paying our vows. We that have made a commitment to follow Jesus, to follow Jesus. Oh, I want to tell you that means something to follow Jesus. That is not half-heartedness. And that's not half-hearted service. Oh, I'm reading the Revelation letter where it says, and they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Amen. Oh, that we would follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, to be a follower, a disciple of Jesus. And it is in the presence of the Lord's people this morning. You're paying the vow of service. You're paying the vow of faithfulness to come aside from the things of out here in the world and other sectors of your life, to come here and to render unto the Lord. What shall I render unto the Lord? For all that he has done, for that that he has blessed us with and helped us with, there is that service and walking before him and taking that cup of salvation. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. So only God's people that are dead means separated.
Yeah.
Separated. And that's precious. That's precious to the Lord when his children, his saints, amen, are dead or separated. From the things that we need to be separated from, sanctified, set apart, usable in the master's service. God bless you this morning. It's my prayer. Let's select a song.